when the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And that's what we have done. We have seen the light that shines in the darkness. And we have come here tonight to worship the newborn King who came and lived among us, who died on the cross, who was buried in the grave, arose from it once and for all, and has ascended to heaven, and one day will return again. We are here tonight to remember Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. And I welcome you, family and friends and guests, for we kind of, this was an afterthought several years ago, and we said we'll try this, and every year, it's amazing how many people come to worship in this very special manner. So would you join me this evening as I pray? And I do thank you, Father, for the joy of the Christmas season, the grace that we're experiencing in so many wonderful ways. And I thank you for the gathering of your people, our friends and family, from all parts of the world and the country, and here tonight to worship the newborn King. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit in this place. Bless us with your presence. Show us your grace and mercy. And to your name, we give the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have it on good report that recently a five-year-old toddler called 911 and told the person at the other end of the line that they had good reason to believe that they knew that the Grinch was once again going to try to steal Christmas. The five-year-old's name was Tylone Pittman. One of the police officers, evidently a female officer, Lauren DeVale, then jumped to action and brought in a Grinch, as you see here, and had him arrested and brought young Tylon in and made him an honorary deputy of the day. And while they were standing there, Tylon looked at the Grinch. The Grinch was hanging his head, still in the outfit, and he put up no fight as he was shut behind the holding cell. Ty walked up to the Grinch and said, "Why are you doing this?" And he just shrugged and put his head down. And the police officer said, "Young man, you have saved Christmas once again." And we had a great, great Christmas story. The Grinch is a fictional green character, Dr. Seuss, 1957 book, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. He exhibits an anti-holiday spirit. He's a grump and a grouch. And that's on his good days. He's an iconic figure that in America caused us to have the word in the encyclopedia, Grinch, meaning all of those things put together. Grinch refers to any person, any organization, any philosophy that is opposed to Christmas. Isn't that sad? There have been many Grinches over the years. There have been many who have thought they were God, or that they were better than others. And there are many categories of Grinch things that happen. Things have been removed from the public view. I heard again yesterday, somebody's upset because somebody had a nativity scene in their front yard. We get upset about being offended saying Merry Christmas. We have people rewriting history, pretending like what happened didn't really happen. It must be a myth. It's just not true. There's lack of respect for the sacred anymore, the traditional and the patriotic. There's misconduct in public and private life. There's dysfunction in every element of society. And then you couple that with terrorism, with racism. You couple that with the legalization of things that harm our body because it feels good and I ought to have a right. And we just are living in a society where so much is changing, and the true meaning of Christmas for some is being forgotten. Well, I want to read to you the biblical story of the first Christmas Grinch. I bet you didn't know that was in there, did you? And I hope that you will give me the liberty to take a little bit of liberty with the reading of God's Word as we read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Now, it says that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of Herod, King Herod, that wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, and they asked him, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we have come now to worship him." And so when the Grinch heard what they had said, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem was with him. And the Grinch then called together all of his people, his chief priests, the teachers of the law, and he asked them where this Christ child was to be born. And they told him the truth. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets and the scriptures have said. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." So the Grinch called in the wise men secretly, and he found out that exactly the time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and make a careful search of the child, and as soon as you've found him, come back to me so that I too may come and worship him." And after they had heard the Grinch, they left and they went on their way. And the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was laying. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshiped him. And they opened their gifts and they presented them to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned then in a dream not to go back to the Grinch anymore, they returned to their own country by another way. And it says that when they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for the Grinch is going to try to steal Christmas." The Grinch is going to try to kill the Christ child. And so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of the Grinch. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I will call my son," a Savior. We're here to celebrate that great call of Christ into our lives. Now, who was this first Christmas Grinch? I bet you have not thought of him in those terms. He was a man that was placed in power by somebody else. He didn't earn it. He didn't make it. It was given to him. Rome proclaimed Herod king of the Jews because they didn't want to deal with the Jews. And they wanted someone who was a half-Jew to deal with the Jews. And so they appointed him. He was famous for a lot of things. He did a lot of rebuilding. And we know him to have rebuilt the temple and to have made the temple just marvelous. But he also rebuilt pagan temples. And he did other things that weren't quite as nice. He was a very paranoid, schizophrenic, suspicious kind of individual. And he was ruthless. If he didn't like you, you didn't have much of a life left. He was raised a Jew, but he was really from the line of Esau. He was an Edomite, but he was never accepted as a Jew. He was condemned by the Sanhedrin. He illegally married a second wife, and when he did that, he banished his first wife and children. And eventually, he had his first wife and children murdered. What a man. Later, in another seemingly uprising, even Josephus, the great historian, wrote about nearly 300 people that he had killed because he was afraid they were against him. So the wise men came and God spoke to them through the angel and they inquired of the newborn king and they followed the star and they found the baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. And do you know that in the rewriting of history, liberal theologians want to tell us that didn't happen. That was just a myth. But there's truth in the Bible, and we know it to be truth as it is. Here's the good news. The Grinch of the first Christmas failed. He tried to kill God. And there are many people trying to kill God today. And they will fail also. For God is eternal and everlasting. He created us. He made us in His image. He came to live among us. He loved us even when we didn't love Him. And He's forgiven us of our sin. He is ours. You cannot kill what you don't have power over. You cannot change what you did not create. You cannot hide from your own sins. And you cannot cover your sins because you occasionally do something really good. The baby that was born that starlit night was God's announcement to the whole wide world. God saying, I win, I always win, and I'll always win for you. 33 years later, more or less, in history, there was another Grinch. This was the Grinch of Easter. And they took our Lord and they nailed Him to a cross. They scourged Him. They mocked Him. They beat Him. But He knew that was going to happen. And He said, there is a purpose. On the screen, it said, God had a plan. God's plan has always been for the redemption of us, for the forgiveness of our sin, to raise us up to be all that we were always intended to be. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a great promise. What a great statement. So it is appropriate that we have gathered here on this Christmas Eve, the eve of the birth of Christ, the advent of His entering into our lives. It is appropriate for us to be here tonight and to remember the two nights. The night He was born and the night in the upper room when He explained what it was all about. And we give Him the praise for that this night. Would you bow with me as we pray? Our Father, on a night that we deem sacred and holy, we have gathered here from all parts of the state and beyond, and we celebrate Your plan for our lives. When the darkness surrounds us, You are the light of the world. When hatred rejects You, Your love embraces us. When evil tries to put out Your light, You shine in the simplest ways, from a baby born in a stable laid in a manger to a star over Bethlehem. And when the Grinch shows His worst, You even forgive the worst among us. So we're not letting the Grinch steal anything tonight. We offer ourselves to You. We offer our hearts, our lives, our very being to You tonight. You are our God. We will not let anything turn out the light. But instead, we bow as the wise men did and worship You. We surrender our all. We've come just as we are to be just what You wanted us to always be. We would rather have Jesus in our heart than all the gold and silver the world affords. Because we serve a risen Savior. And we see Your hand of mercy, and we know You're always near. So prepare our hearts properly right now, Lord, for this time when we remember Your death, burial, and resurrection. Through the observance of this Lord's Supper, we ask You to forgive us of our sin and our trespasses. We ask that You show us Your grace and mercy. Remind us of Your goodness. Fill us with Your presence and Holy Spirit. Lift us from the mire of our daily grind and place us on higher ground. Guide us beside what the psalmist calls the still waters. Seat us at the banquet table of heaven. renew a right spirit within us. And rather than giving us what we deserve, cast us not away from your presence. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will never fear any evil. For we praise your holy name tonight. So speak to our hearts. Touch our lives. And move us with power and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke that bread and he said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, Paul says, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim his death until he comes again." Gentlemen, would you uncover the table, please? Only imagine the pain and the suffering that our Lord endured in that 20-hour period of time when they arrested him. They carried him off. He was scourged. He was beaten, ridiculed, mocked, spit upon. This is the body. Carrie, would you lead us, please, in prayer?
God, on this most holy of nights, Lord, where we celebrate and remember the birth of that baby under that star in Bethlehem, that baby that was our Savior, the only person that ever lived a perfect life, the only person, Lord, that deserved to live a life of glory, a life of worship, a life of honor and praise. Lord, he gave all that up for us. And now, Lord, we remember his precious, broken, beaten body hanging on that cross. We honor you, Lord, with our obedience. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. We remember you. we know that life is in the blood. We know that if you bleed out, you can't live. We know that in the blood is everything that you are, that God created. And when Jesus was beaten, nailed to a cross, and died that day, it was because his blood drained from his body. So we remember that event, and we give thanks. James, would you? No, I'm sorry.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the beauty of this season, for the beauty that your birth brings to our hearts, for the joys, for the happiness, for the rejoicing that we do, for all the beauty that is around us. But Lord, let us not forget the beauty of your blood, of what it means to our salvation, our lives, our death, our eternity, the hope of glory. Lord, I pray that we be ever thankful for the shedding of your blood for our sins. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us and pour into our hearts the joy that this blood should bring us, and may we be constantly reminded of its powerful, powerful meaning to us each day that we live. Amen.
And as you remember him, do this in his honor. Cover the table, because he's not here, he is risen, and one day he comes again. You should have received a candle. In a moment, I will light the first candle from the Christ candle. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven." And as I light the candle, Christ never bows. And so I will bow to light my candle. But once the light of Jesus Christ is lit in my life, I bow to no one but Christ himself. And so as you share your light with your neighbor, allow their candle to bow to you and be lit. But then once it stands, we bow to no one till Jesus comes again. Now take the light and let it shine in the darkness. May God bless you, and Merry Christmas, and all good night.